Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, continuing our series on the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, this is God's word. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said that when we come to the Lord in prayer, we're speaking to someone who is not just an impersonal power out there. He is our Father. If we are in Christ Jesus, if we've been born again, we've been adopted into his family, we have a relationship with him, and his Spirit now living in us enables us to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. That's the kind of relationship that Jesus died in order to give us and rose again so that we're not dealing with some dead figure in history. We're dealing with our living Lord and Savior. And so we can call his God our Father. You read the book of Revelation, Jesus repeatedly refers to the Father as his God, reminding us that although he is God himself, he's also man. He became one of us. He really did. He didn't just pose as a man, pretending to be human. God became one of us. That's the miracle of the incarnation. And so, as a man, he knew God as our Father. And he wants us to realize that the temple curtain has been torn in two from top to bottom. We are invited to know God in an intimate way, to have a relationship with him that is eternal, unshakable. That is what he came to give us. So we come to him as our Father. And our heart's cry, our desire, knowing him that way, is that his name would be hallowed, that people would recognize the glory of God, that our hearts would be one in worship. So hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We want God to rule over everything. We're not asking that we please be able to keep a little bit of turf over here. You know, God, I know that you're wise, you do things well, but I'm not completely ready to give this up. Well, you better get ready right now, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're to bow before him and surrender everything to him. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today we come to living a life of daily dependence. Living a life of daily dependence. Jesus said that we should pray, give us today our daily bread. And when Jesus uses this term daily bread, it is the term bread, and it is the term daily, but that term was used in that culture to mean more than just bread. Okay? It meant your basic needs. And if you had to summarize, what would we say is the most basic food? Meat. No. You know, that's what I want to say because I'm a carnivore, okay? But the fact is, bread is the staff of life. It is universally the thing, whether you make it out of corn in Latin America or whether you make it out of wheat or barley or oats or whatever you're growing. Bread is how we get along. Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. I personally think it's good to actually have some stuff for the future, okay? I mean, you want to have, just in case the power grid goes down and all that, you want to have some food supplies and all that stuff. Do you need, you know, 5 years worth of dehydrated food? Not necessarily. But the fact is, most of us don't want just daily bread, right? But do you remember when God led his people through the wilderness and they had to eat manna? The word manna means, what is it? Because it was unlike anything they'd ever seen. It was kind of like something, coriander seed, I mean, you know, but it was different. It was unique. And if you tried to gather enough for 2 days, it would rot. It would have maggots. It would be disgusting. It was ruined. You couldn't get, except in preparation for the Sabbath, where you were supposed to gather twice as much so that you didn't go out on the Sabbath because God wasn't going to provide it on the Sabbath because he was teaching his people not to work on the Sabbath. And so God provided for his people on a daily basis because he was training his people to depend on him each day. I want to ask you, do you aspire to depend on God each day? Or would you really like it if God would go ahead and give you enough now that you don't have to think about it anymore? Okay? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if Bill Gates contacted our office and said, couldn't sleep last night and went online and came across your website and I think what you guys are doing is just fabulous. In fact, I'm so impressed, I've decided, Melinda and I have talked, and we want to give Ware's Valley Ranch $10 billion. Well, you know, I'd be wanting to know who this really is on the other end of the phone. But I got to say, frankly, that I'd be pretty excited. I mean, wouldn't you be? That would be fantastic. Let me tell you, it wouldn't be as good as what we've got. Do you know why Ware's Valley Ranch doesn't have $10 billion right now? You know why? Because God, who is in control of everything, knows that we would not be as well off if we had $10 billion. Because God wants us to learn to depend on him every day. And if we get in a situation where we think, okay, God, thank you, we'll take it from here, then we're on our way, automatically, on our way to disaster. If you think you no longer need God, well, God got me this far, but I think the rest is up to me. No, actually, God got you this far. And every step going forward needs to be a step of obedient dependence on him. You look at the history of God's people, even before they got into the wilderness, God led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and he brought them on a path that made it look like they were lost, And that was by design. And he got them right up to the brink of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army bearing down on them. Why did he do that? Well, God's kind of got a mean streak, you know. No. God wanted the people to discover that no matter what's going on, they can trust in him because he will see them through. And these thousands of years later, we're still talking about the crossing of the Red Sea. If God hadn't put them in that situation of desperate need, they would not have seen the glory of God in the way that they did. God wants us to know what is true. And the truth is, all of us are entirely dependent on him all the time. The atheist who says there is no God is entirely dependent on God. Apart from God, he doesn't have lungs and he doesn't have oxygen. And he doesn't have the intelligence to be able to put together a sentence, even a short, stupid sentence like, there is no God. God's the one who gave him the power of speech. God's the one who gave him that mind that he's using in a perverted way. All of us are entirely dependent on God for everything, every day. But most people not only don't recognize that, they don't want to recognize that. We have this arrogant pride that causes us to think that we've got to, you just got to believe in yourself. That's what it comes down to. You just got to believe in yourself. If you believe that you can do it, you can do it. Just believe in yourself and work hard, give it your best, and you can do anything you set your mind to. Okay, be a giraffe. I don't want to. You can't be a giraffe. You're not a giraffe. But we're living in a culture where guys think they can be girls and girls think they can be guys, and just not so. Believing it doesn't make it so. The fact of the matter is, all of us are entirely dependent on God, whether we recognize it or not. Just because you don't know that you're dependent on him doesn't make you less dependent on him. Jesus is teaching us as part of our prayer to recognize that we are entirely dependent on him. My most basic needs, the short list when you go to the grocery store, my daily bread, the stuff I need every day. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants us to depend on him. Look over in Luke's gospel. Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave the town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. I want you to think for a minute, why would Jesus do that? You mean send the people out to heal and preach the gospel? No. Why, when he's sending them out, does he give them divine power and authority, but tell them, you must not take a staff, a bag? As a matter of fact, let's say it the way that he says it. Take nothing for the journey. Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. What's the deal? The deal is he wants them to be aware, keenly aware, that they are entirely dependent on Him. Do you really think you can trust God for miracles if you can't trust Him for just daily bread? Yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And I'll do that. I'll put myself out like that. But I'm not willing to trust Him for lunch. Does that make any sense? Jesus wanted them to know that unless God supplied, there was no plan B. I'm like, well, I hope we find something today, but if not, I've got a little something here in my bag. No, you don't have a bag, and you don't have anything in your pockets. You don't even have an extra tunic. You got nothing. Because apart from Him, guess what we've got? Nothing. We're going on a journey. And He says, I'm all you need. That's enough. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a dangerous world out there. Yeah, it is. Look at what immediately follows that, by the way. The feeding of the 5,000. The one miracle that's in all four Gospels. Not only that. Jesus is going to send out the 72 in chapter 10 of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. You're sending us out like lambs among wolves? That doesn't sound good. It's okay if you're trusting the shepherd. Our safety is in Him. And if we start to think it's somewhere else, we are off track. Our security is in Him. Does that mean I can't have a bank account with money in it? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you better not only know where it came from, but you better know whose it is. It's not yours, it's His, and it's to be used in obedience to Him. You need to depend on Him.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
God is the one we have to depend on. And so Jesus speaks to guys who know how to earn a living. Remember, when Jesus called these guys, they were not a bunch of homeless bums, unemployed. They were working. Matthew was a tax collector. We don't really want to talk about that, but he made a good living. He threw a big party for Jesus, invited a lot of people. He was a wealthy guy. Jesus says, Matthew, from now on, you need to depend on God for daily bread. Andrew and Peter and James and John, fishermen. Commercial fishermen. Family business. They were at work when Jesus called and said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They had to leave their gainful employment in order to do what Jesus told them to do. But guess what? Jesus kept His promise. He made them fishers of men. He employed them Himself. And He made sure that they always had what they needed. What are we going to do if we can't pay our taxes? Jesus says, we don't really owe those, but tell you what, Peter. Go fishing. and the first fish you pull out, check inside its mouth, and you will find a coin that has the exact amount that is supposed to be paid by you and by me. You can turn that in for your taxes and mine. Do you think Jesus has got you covered? You think he can take care of you? The fisherman, the tax collector, the other people who followed Jesus knew how to make a living. They knew how to get food. But Jesus said, I want you to pray and ask your Father in heaven. Ask our Father in heaven to give us this day our daily bread. Because you see, if you know where it comes from, it's not hard to remember to pray before you eat, is it? If you think you got it, you know, yeah, I did this. I earned this with the sweat of my brow. I'm a hard-working man.
I'm a hard-working lady.
Okay. I'm a great cook. I'm whatever. Let me tell you something. If you think that what you've got is because of you, you have misunderstood. But if you are living in dependence on him, then when it's mealtime, you give thanks to God. You give thanks because you know this is his provision. This is his kindness. This is his faithfulness on display. And you model for the kids an attitude of gratitude. This isn't exactly what I prefer. Okay. But it's what you need. Well, but I don't like it like this. Well, are you hungry? Not really. Well, you will be if you don't eat it. Because this is what we're having. Years ago, my wife greeted me when I got home from work by saying, I trust you won't mind that I wrote a large check to thus and such an organization. It was a relief organization that helped poor people around the world. I said, okay. We didn't have a lot of money. But she said, I really believe the Lord wanted me to do it. I was in the kitchen looking in the cupboards to see what I was going to make for supper, and none of it looked appealing. And I was frustrated that there wasn't anything that really looked good to fix for supper. And the phone rang. And the person on the other end said, would you please stay on the line to hear a message from the president of our organization? And so I listened, because it's an organization we had supported. She said, I listened, and this fellow began to describe the famine in parts of Africa and how people are starving to death and how they want to try and make a difference, and asked if we could help. And I realized, here I am looking at food choices and thinking none of that appeals, and there are people starving. And she said, so yeah, I made a commitment for a large amount. If you know what it is to be without, if you know what it is to be hungry, if you know what it is to depend upon God every day, you will be thankful for what he gives. You will rejoice in the fact that he knows what we really need, and he gives us what is best for us, even when it's not what we would choose. Give thanks. It starts with knowing that you depend on God for everything, every day.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.